She's an attorney and writes about football as well in Houston, Texas. Stephanie Stradley joins us this afternoon on the phone. Stephanie, thanks for coming back to visit with us.
Thanks for having me on.
Let's start with the basis for the ruling by this appeals court today. Did it essentially come down to the commissioner's power under the collective bargaining agreement?
Yes, it looked as though the majority opinion looked at this as just a typical arbitration hearing that gives a lot of deference to the arbiter, right? And it looks to Article 46, and Article 46 gives the commissioner, according to the NFL, broad deference to do what he wants to do. And so they saw this as, hey, this is a basic arbitration, and you know, we as the federal courts don't want to be involved with disputes between labor and management. And yes, this is an unusual way to set things up where you have the commissioner also being the arbiter, but that's what the players negotiated for. That's their viewpoint of how this turned out. Now, I personally don't like the reasoning in the ruling, but you know, I think it's going to stick because I don't think that there's a next step to this.
Now, why wasn't this remanded back to Judge Berman's court?
Well, it technically was, but with nothing for him to decide. I mean, basically, they gave him instructions, and the instructions are Roger Goodell wins, basically. So, you know, though it's technically remanded, it's not really remanded. And those additional issues that Berman did not rule on, the court in this case said, hey, we looked at these issues too because these were also briefed, and we're not buying the NFLPA's position on this, and so it doesn't go back for more information on these points as well. So it's, I mean, according to the Second Circuit decision, it's done, and there really aren't very good places for this to go next.
Now, I saw a post in social media you had a couple of hours ago, and you felt like the NFLPA's brief was not as strong this time as in some of the earlier cases.
Well, I think part of it is just the nature of their arguments. The NFL's argument is kind of a very basic arbitration argument, which is we don't want the courts butting in on arbitrations, and Roger Goodell has this power. And the NFLPA's position is, hey, the collective bargaining agreement has been in this basic form for many, many years, and we have conducted things in a certain way, and we have mutual understandings of different terms in the CBA. And this is a very specific procedure, and they didn't follow the way that we normally do the procedure. I mean, the phrase for that is like kind of industrial due process, that you can't just go through the pageantry of arbitration. You actually have to follow what the rules are. And in the NFL situation, it's a very specific set of things, and it's very difficult to make a very detailed legal argument and factual argument. It's much easier to make a general argument, hey, whatever Roger Goodell says goes, which is really the NFL's argument. And it's kind of like trying to argue against Donald Trump. You know, Donald Trump would say something big, and then somebody trying to refute him would say, well, no, the reasons why you're not right are this, that, and the other thing. Well, it's just easier to make the argument that's the simple argument. And that's how it's gone this way. I mean, it's kind of strange to think that two judges saw it one way and two judges saw it the other way. I mean, because at this level, it's two judges seeing it for the NFL's way and one dissenter, and then there was also Berman seeing it the other way. And I think part of it is whether you see this as a general arbitration type of case or if you see this as something that's very specific to the unusual circumstances that is kind of the history of that CBA.
We're talking with attorney Stephanie Stradley here on Downtown. And while this particular hearing and ruling was mostly about the decision and the procedures that Roger Goodell went through and what his rights are under the collective bargaining agreement, this was not about PSIs or any of what went on before, but it does seem like Tom Brady and the missing cell phone certainly didn't help his case this time around.
Yeah, I mean, the way that the court handled that was kind of odd in saying, hey, this is, you know, this was evidence spoliation, and Roger Goodell was entitled to take an adverse inference from that. Because I think in that part of the opinion, they kind of gloss over some of the notice issues of whether Tom Brady had actual notice that the cell phone was going to mean anything. Because, you know, the headline said, Tom Brady destroyed his phone. But if you look at the actual evidence that came out, we really don't know exactly what happened to that phone. He said his general preference is when he cycles through cell phones a lot, and he doesn't want them to continue to exist for his privacy reasons, and obvious privacy reasons that came out in this particular case. But at the very get-go of all of this, in the Wells report, they made a point of saying that he did a lot of cooperation. He just didn't provide the information within the cell phone, which is what they originally thought. And so this is like a normal kind of discovery dispute. Are you entitled to the private contents of that guy's phone, right? And it wasn't really resolved until, you know, the Wells report comes out and it's like, well, we took an adverse inference from this. This was bad. You didn't cooperate. And, you know, Brady's argument was, well, we weren't given notice that we were supposed to do that. And I think the judges kind of glide past some of those issues, of just kind of those process issues.
Well, with his...
You know, like, it's very difficult to prove your innocence when the things that the person's mad at you about keep shifting. I mean, you would understand that in just a normal argument with a loved one. You know, if somebody goes, you didn't take out the dishes, and it's like, I did take out the dishes. Well, I'm punishing you for not raking the yard. What?
Well, with his power reaffirmed, Roger Goodell could, among other things, drop the suspension. He could change it to a fine instead of a suspension. But, Stephanie, is this case really about Tom Brady? Is he just a minor player? And this is really about the affirmation of the commissioner's power.
It's all about the affirmation of the commissioner's power. And if you look at the history of how he's exercised that power, he always uses maximum leverage and power, even if it's not to the league's best interest overall. I mean, if you just look at what typically happens, I do not see him kind of out of the kindness of his heart going, you know, this really wasn't that bad. You know, we don't know how many games Tom Brady has left in his career, so let's cut the suspension. Because he had all sorts of opportunities to do that. I mean, at this level, he got the precedent he wants. The precedent he wants is it doesn't matter what the procedures of the CBA are. Whatever he thinks is good for the game is good for the game. And if you looked at the underlying argument that was made to the Second Circuit, one of the judges asked, well, could it have been a year-long suspension? And the attorney says, yes, it could have been a year-long suspension. I mean, basically, this ruling means the NFL can do whatever Roger Goodell says it can do.
Well,
and what's disturbing about it is that the Second Circuit said, well, if the NFLPA didn't like this process, they could have changed the CBA back in 2011. But nobody, I mean, the Steelers players maybe saw the concern given what happened with Roethlisberger, but those were involving individual players and criminal events. I don't think anybody anticipated Bullygate and Bountygate and Deflategate. All of those situations were situations where the evidence was not very good, and it was issues that the league really hadn't cared strongly about in the past, with some very strong punishments. I mean, I don't think anybody would have really seen in 2011 that, you know, in a few years from now, the best player in the league is going to be suspended for 4 games based on bad information. I guess that he did something bad, and it wasn't even him doing the bad thing. It was maybe some other people.
Well, Stephanie, the only silver lining out of this, we get to have you on the show again, and that's a good thing. Hopefully next time we talk, it'll just be about the Houston Texans.
I would like that. You know, the Texans are playing the Patriots this season, and that usually turns out pretty well for the Patriots.
Well, we'll reach out to you then, and we won't even mention Deflategate. How's that?
That sounds good.
All right. Thank you, Stephanie. We appreciate it.